The Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, I want to draw your attention to the words of the verse 16. Paul said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. One of the most precious commodities in the world today is time. After his conversion, John Wesley determined not to lose 1 minute of time. He rose every morning before 5 a.m. In the course of his life, he preached 40,000 sermons. In delivering them, he traveled 300,000 miles, not on aeroplane, but by horseback. That's the equivalent to going around the world 12 times over. Using even his spare minutes, he learned 10 different languages and he produced over 400 books. At the age of 83, he complained that he was no longer able to write for more than 15 hours a day. And knowing he would one day give an account for every moment of time, he sought to use every minute to its full. Paul here urging a similar diligence in the hearts and minds of the Ephesian believers. He said in verse 14, awake, thou that sleepest, and urging them to stir themselves from the sloth of sleep. He then commanded them in verse 16 to redeem the time. Scholars tell us that these words are borrowed from Daniel chapter 2 and the verse 8. They literally mean to buy up or to maximize the time. In other words, they were to use every minute to its full. As if to emphasize this, he repeats this command again in his epistle to the Colossians. You see, rather than being wasters of time, we are to be merchants of time, buying up every minute and using it for Christ. Indeed, taking up the same word, Paul writing unto the Galatian believers and urging them not to grow weary in well-doing. He said in Galatians 6 in the verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. The word time is rendered opportunity here. In other words, he was saying that every second or every minute was an opportunity given to them from God. You see, rather than being squanders of time, we are to be seizing every moment or every opportunity and using it for Christ. You know, it has been calculated that if you live until you're 70, you will have spent 20 years sleeping, and you will have spent 20 years working, and you will have spent 6 years, maybe some less, some more, eating, and you will have spent 5 months tying your shoe laces. And you see, time being short, it needs to be scheduled rather than squandered. Every moment of our time needs to be pressed into service. Someone has rightly said, we all have the same amount of time, 168 hours a week. But the question that really matters is, why are we using our time? How are you using the years that God has given you? How are you using the months that God has given you? How have you used even the minutes that God has given to you in the week that has gone into eternity? We're not to be squandering our time, but we are to be merchants of time. We're to be buying up every second, every minute, and we're to be using that minute to its full. And so I want this morning to draw your attention to this command to redeem the time. I want you to notice firstly here the requirements he emphasizes. In the previous verses, we find him urging them to walk as those who were wise, putting away the foolishness of the flesh. You notice here that they were to be fashioned by the Scriptures. Coming into the marketplace of life, he said, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The word understanding there means to be prudent or to consider. In Matthew chapter 11, we find the Lord using it there to describe those who spent their whole lives studying the law. And unlike the foolish man who wanders aimlessly through life, they were to be searching out the will of God. Finding it, he then urged them in the verse 15 to walk circumspectly, or as it means, to walk precisely. In other words, discovering the will of God for their lives, they were then to be accurately walking in it. You see, before there can be a redeeming of the time, there needs to be a reading of the truth, a learning, and then a living out of the Word of God in our daily lives. Indeed, Paul, desiring that the Colossians would not waste their lives, he said in Colossians 1 and the verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." The preposition "in" there could equally be rendered "through." And as such, he was indicating that the will of God comes through the wisdom, or it comes through the Word of God. And discovering it, he then urged them in the following verse to walk in it. You see, if we are to redeem the time, there must be a studying and then a submitting to the Word of God, a walking in the Scripture, not only continuously, but a walking in the Scripture circumspectly. In fact, that word "circumspectly" there draws in our minds the picture of a cat walking across the top of a security wall that has been embedded with broken glass. Can't you picture it? It picks up its paw so carefully, it reaches it out, and then it puts it down where there is no glass. And putting it down, it then attentively and gingerly lifts the other paw and puts it then also forward. And you see, rather than rushing heedlessly through life, we are to be considering our every step, and we are to be putting it down in the Word of God. Edward Hooper wrote, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me." And you see, when it comes to life, we're to be guided not by prestige, nor by the plans of man, nor by the perks offered by man, but we are to be guided solely by the Word of God. You see, if we're going to redeem the time, if we're going to buy up every opportunity in life, we need to be guided by the book. We need to be those who read the Scriptures. And having read the Scriptures, then seek to put our feet in those steps. We're to be submitting ourselves to the Word of God. We're to be fashioned by the Scripture. Believer, are you being directed by the Word of God? Is the Bible in life your guide? Not only were they to be fashioned by the Scripture, but also filled with the Spirit. Leaving aside their own plans, Paul said, verse 18, "And be drunk, not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The word "filled" there is nothing to do with quantity, but rather it has all to do with quality. It literally means to be controlled by. For example, in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, we read, "They were filled with wrath." And wrath taking control of their members, we find that mob taking the Savior and seeking to push him over the edge of a cliff. More than that, the word "filled" here is placed in the present tense, indicating something that should need to be repeated again and again. In other words, he was indicating here, if they were going to redeem the time, there needed to be a continual yielding of themselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. You see, before there can be a redeeming of the time, there must be a resigning of our wills, a surrendering of ourselves to the control of the Spirit of God. Indeed, the disciples coming up into the upper room, the Spirit of God suddenly and dramatically fell upon them. And while they were in that moment filled with the Holy Spirit, yet we read in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And you discover here that the disciples who had been filled with the Holy Spirit a few chapters later, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. You see, if we are going to buy up time, there must firstly be a selling of our wills, a yielding of our wills continuously to the control of the Holy Spirit. I can remember one time many years ago going down a road, and suddenly the car began to jump, and then she began to slow, and then she died out completely. I turned the ignition until the battery went flat, and then I got out and I pushed until I went flat. What was the problem? The tank was empty. And my friend, without the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter what activities you do, you will accomplish nothing. You'll be able to do nothing for Christ. George Mueller, being asked the secret of his success, he said, "There was a day when I died, utterly died. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will." And before we can begin to redeem the time, there needs not only that to be that dying to self and that dying to our own plans, but there needs to be that yielding of our lives to the control of the Spirit of God. If you're going to buy up every opportunity, then, believer, there needs to be a daily yielding of yourself to the Spirit of God. A crying, "Spirit of God, take my life. Take control of my will. Guide me and direct me." We need to be filled with the Spirit. Also, there needed to be a fleeing from all sin, leaving behind the world. He said, verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The words of this verse take us back into verse 11. Paul there admonishing these believers, he warned them to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And fleeing from the works of darkness, he then urged them in verse 18 not to be drunk with wine. Of course, Solomon reminds us that alcohol not only impairs the judgment, but it breaks down our natural inhibitions. And as such, if they were going to redeem the time, there needed to be a fleeing, not only from sin, but from anything that would weaken their resolve or that would tempt them to sin. You see, as well as fleeing transgression, there needs to be a fleeing temptation, an avoiding of anything that would tempt us to sin. Paul, writing unto the Thessalonians, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." The word "appearance" means sort, kind, or likeness. In other words, they were not only to refrain from sin, but they were to refrain from that even which had the stench of sin or the likeness of sin, or that would weaken the resolve. You see, as well as fleeing actual sin, there needs to be a fleeing of the appearance of sin, from all that would weaken us, or from all that would contaminate us. is the cry of the world, not today, get with it. But I want to tell you, child of God, when it comes to sin and it comes to the world, the cry of the Scripture is get out of it. Rather than trying to get as near to sin as we possibly can and get as near to the world as we can, we should be seeking to get as far away from it as possible. You walk on ice, and eventually, if you do it long enough, the ice will crack, and you'll plunge through the ice into the ice cold water. You see, my friend, there needs to be a fleeing from sin. Paul, here writing unto these believers, he urged them to redeem the time. And he said, if you're going to redeem the time, then you need to flee sin. More than that, you need to direct your every step by the word of God. And more than that, you need to yield yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to redeem the time, you've got to flee sin. You've got to place your steps in the word of God. You've got to yield yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Only then can we buy up time and use it. But I think not only do we notice the requirements he emphasizes, but I want you to notice the reasons he explained. Explaining why they should buy up time, he then drew their eyes to the day in which they lived. And you notice here that their days were perilous. He said, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word evil here not only refers to pollution, but it also refers to persecution. For example, in the following chapter, Paul, speaking there of the wiles of the devil, he refers to it as an evil day. The reference there, of course, was to the days of Nero coming to power. He had many of the believers dipped in oil and set alight. He used them to light up his gardens in the darkness of the night. Later, the city of Rome burning down with fire. He had many of those believers arrested and tortured to death. And realizing that their days were short, realizing that their days could be cut off at any moment, he urged them to redeem the time. You see, life at best is very brief. And being short, we need to seize every opportunity. Indeed, writing to the Corinthians, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none." And in these words, Paul was not telling them to divorce their wives or to have nothing more to do with their wives, but he was simply telling them here to get their priorities right. They were to firstly, before everything else, put that which is eternal at the front. Time is the only gift that God gives sparingly. And being short, we need to buy up every moment. I remember reading about a woman in Philadelphia who had been sentenced to death. Her brother managed to get a pardon for her, but he had a long distance to get to Philadelphia. He rode his horse until his horse collapsed. It was winter time, and the winds were howling, and many of the rivers were overflowing, but at great personal risk, he dived into the rivers, and he went through the rivers, and finally he got to the prison cell. But as he entered into the prison cell, he was greeted with the figure of his sister dangling at the end of the rope. It was too late. You see, not only is time short, but time is always growing shorter. Man's hearts are like molten iron being poured out of the furnace. And no sooner does that iron come out of the furnace than it becomes hard. in a very short period of time, it can be no longer fashioned by the hammer. The work which ought to have been done in childhood or done in youth often cannot be done in old age. That heart has become hard. And no matter how much you take the hammer of the Word of God, it cannot dent the heart. It cannot make any difference. And you see, believer, we need to be buying up every second of time. We need to be buying up every opportunity that comes our way, because time is short. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow they may be no longer willing to listen. Tomorrow their heart may have grown so cold that you can no longer put a dent upon their heart. Buy up the time. Buy up every moment, because the days are perilous. More than that, notice here that their days were passing, because he said, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word buy here is a metaphor taken from the world of trade. It draws in our minds a picture of a wise merchantman coming down to the market, seeing the goods that he wants and knowing that those goods may not be there tomorrow. He takes his wallet out of his pocket and he buys them immediately. And as such, by this image, he was reminding them that opportunities, when they are lost, they cannot be recovered. You see, time is not only swift, time is irreversible. Passing, it cannot be recalled. Esau missing the day of opportunity in his life, we read in Hebrews 12:17. For ye know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And while he sought it carefully, he couldn't find it. It was too late. Better to lose anything than to lose time. Because when time is lost, it cannot be recalled, recovered, nor can it be reused. Someone rightly said, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. And that's why it's called the present. Time is a gift. But it is a gift that if it is lost, it is lost forever. Miss that opportunity, and my friend, it's lost. It's lost forever. How often, my God, brings opportunity our way. We have an opportunity to speak to an individual that we never had before. And we don't use it. But when it's gone, it's gone. You can't recall it. You can't bring it back. My friend, redeem the time. Buy up every moment of time. Buy up every opportunity that comes your way, because it may never, never, never come your way again. Their days were perilous. Their days were passing. Notice also their days were precious. Look at verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. They were to redeem, or they were to buy up the time. Surely the word buy speaks to us of value. You see, time is a valuable commodity. And as such, he who is killing time in reality is killing himself. It has been rightly said, time is the stuff that life is made of. And as such, to waste time is to waste our lives. You see, believer, the most precious commodity that you have is not your house, it's not your car, it's not the money that you have banked in the bank. Your most precious commodity is time.
Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Buy up every moment. Buy up every opportunity. Buy like an eager shopper. Don't go past that item thinking, I'll buy it tomorrow, because tomorrow it may be gone. Use it now. Use it now. Not only the requirements and the reasons, but I want you lastly to notice here the responsibility he expounded, as well as telling them to redeem the time. Paul was a wise man, and he went on to tell them then how to redeem the time. Notice here they were to speak to God. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice there the words always and all. They were not only to be always praising God, but they were to be praising God for all things. The little word all there, it includes not only the blessings of life, but surely it also includes the buffetings of life. You see, as well as receiving blessings from the Lord, there must be a returning to the Lord, a praising Him, not only for the good things, but for the seemingly bad things. You know the story of Corrie ten Boom. And on one occasion, she was transferred to one of the worst German camps. And going into the camp, she found it was infested with fleas. The next morning, opening her Bible and doing her daily reading, the verse was, "In everything give thanks." And she thought to herself, "How can I give thanks?" And she refused to thank God. Then she noticed something. She noticed that unlike all the other camps that she had been in, when they had their Bible readings and when they had their prayer times, the German soldiers never came in to break up the meetings. Why? Because of the fleas. They didn't want the fleas. How can I praise God for my trials? How can I praise God for my troubles? Because, my friend, all things work together for good to them that love God. How can you redeem the time? You redeem the time by thanking God. You can redeem the time by saying, "Lord, thank you for that blessing," but also saying, "Lord, thank you for that trial. Thank you for that trouble that has come into my life." I wonder, are you redeeming the time? Have you given praise? Have you given thanks unto God? We redeem the time when we speak to God, but more than that, we redeem the time when we sing to God. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Whatever the difference between these three types of song, it is clear here that they were all scriptural songs. And in urging them here to redeem the time, he told them to sing scriptural songs. When we sing, we are redeeming the time. We are buying up those moments in adoration. You say, "Preacher, how can I redeem the time?" My friend, you can redeem the time by taking down your hymn book and by singing praises to God. You can redeem the time in the services by singing to the honor and glory of God. We redeem the time when we praise God, when we thank Him for all things that come into our lives, and we redeem the time when we sing. When we sing praises unto Him. Don't think that singing is trivial, unimportant. Don't think in the services it's just to pass a little time till you get to the preaching of the Word. It's not. It's important. It's buying up the time. It's redeeming it. Also, we redeem the time not only when we speak to God and we sing to God, but when we shine for God. He said, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, when we are singing, we're not just worshiping.
but we're also witnessing. For example, the psalmist singing a new song. He said, many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. When we're singing, we're also witnessing. Witnessing is redeeming the time. It's buying up every opportunity for him. A woman one day came to the great evangelist D.L. Moody, and she was very critical, and she was criticizing his method of evangelism. Moody said, I don't really like mine all that much either, but what's yours? The woman confessed that she had no method for evangelizing. And so Moody looked her in the eye and he said, then I like mine more than yours. We're to be witnessing. We're to be witnessing for the Lord. When we witness, we're buying up the time. We're buying up the opportunities. We're using them. We're using them for the honor. We're using them for the glory of God. Oh, believer, are you redeeming the time? Are you singing praises to God? Are you witnessing for him? Are you spending time even in prayer? And Paul, here writing to the Ephesians, he said, don't waste a minute. It's the most precious commodity you have, time. Use it. Shakespeare said in Richard III, I wasted time, and now time wasted me. The reality is this morning that every one of us, it doesn't matter our background, it doesn't matter how far we are in the Christian race, we all have the exact same amount of time. We have 24 hours every day. The difference is not even the amount, but it's how we use the time. How we use the time that God has given us. Oh, believer, reflect for a moment. Look back in the week that has gone by. Ask yourself the question, have I been a good merchant? Have I bought up the time that God gave me? Have I used every minute? Have I used every second in a way that is honoring, glorifying, even unto him? My John Wesley was determined to use every minute. Oh, believer, use the time. God has given you time, given me time. Let's use it. Let's buy it up. Let's go into the market, as it were, and buy it up. And determine that we'll use it for him. We'll be good merchants, merchants of time. May God take his word and bless it even.